Okay. Ska vi se. Okay, I hope you see me. There was unfortunately a problem with the Blackboard. It disconnected, but I hope you are connected and I am connected. Do you see and hear me? Yes, William, very good. Yes, because Blackboard suddenly disconnected, so I had to reconnect again. Yes, so the last thing I did was to show you a model of safety reporting. Actually, that model is a causal loop version of a model that can be simulated and that I will also add to Blackboard. I will show it also a little bit later. There are some slides that show the simulation. So I will continue now with that. So let me share the file. It was toward incident reporting. Takes a little bit of time because it was unloaded. Okay, here it comes. So we had to look at this model here, and I went through that. Of course, my explanation was a little bit fast. It needs to be fast because otherwise we will not finish. But you can ask questions. I would recommend that you spend a little bit of time looking at it, and remember this here, the as a reference to the article which is in Blackboard. So you can read this article, Overcoming Organizational Challenges to Secure Knowledge Management. The actual simulation model looks like this, and you will laugh. I had to zoom out in order to get that in the screen. So if you look at that in Vensim, then you will have to zoom in order to see the details. But it is very well explained in the article, so you can read it. And later when I enter the Vensim model, we can look a little bit more at the details here. What we often do in Vensim models is that we break the model in different views so that each view can be easily visualized rather than having the whole model like here all in the screen. So this slide is not asking you to for looking at the details, just for illustrating a little bit of the amount of details in the model. Now, to simulate that, there are a number of scenarios, and a table shows you what we can do. We can simulate the model as is. We call it the base run. Then we can activate the recriminations so that you see the impact of recriminations. Well, actually, let me go back. In the base run, we have a model without recrimination and incentives. So if something happens which is bad, the staff that reports doesn't get recriminated even if they are very dumb and did something dangerous. And there are not additional incentives to get the people reporting. All this is in the base run. Then we can switch in and put recriminations and see what happens. So we can see what is the impact of recriminating people if they do something bad on the actually motivation to report and quality of reporting. Then we can take the switch off recommendation and see what is the effect of incentives. And then we can put both. We can, on the one hand, recriminate people if they do something bad and dangerous, but we can also try to compensate with incentives to keep them reporting. And then finally, we can take both recommendation incentives away and see what happens if we don't have enough resources to handle the incidents. Okay? Then you see the simulations here for different things. Here we look at the rate of incidents. Remember, incidents, they are events that actually cause problems. And still remember, this is not about information security yet. It is about a safety system. Think of aviation or think of chemical industry or so. And then you see here the legends. We have the first name, incident rate, means we are always looking at the incident rate. The second one is the run in the assumptions. So if you compare with the table below, before, in the previous slide. So number one is only if you consider the base run without recommendation, without incentives, but with enough resources in principle. Then you get this development for the incident rate. So obviously the incident reporting system is decreasing the number of events that actually turn out to be incidents and cause harm. Three is if you add incentives, and you can see it improves a little bit. So you get even less incidents, but not so dramatically. So it seems that it's more the internal motivation to report that is, and not so much if you add some prizes, trinkets, lotteries, and so on. Now, consider number two. Then you are here, which is the negative impact of recriminations. You try to add, number four, incentives, and it helps a bit, but not very much. And then finally, while in all these cases so far, you got a reduction in incidents, the number of events that become actual, cause some problem, incidents. If you don't have enough resources, then you see after a while the system becomes worse simply because the motivation to report fades. If you see that doesn't have effect, you are spending time in reporting, and then this is not properly followed up, then that will lead sooner or later to less interest. The quality of service is deteriorating, so people would not report. That was for the incident rate. You could look at other. We could look now at the incident reporting rate, that is the number of incidents that are reported. You see, then of course the scale here exaggerates because the numbers are small. But you see that do you dissuade reporting if you have recriminations? Number two, even if you add incentives, this is the impact of having recriminations. If you don't do anything, then you get a lower incident reporting rate, but that has also to do with the fact that there are less incidents that are occurring. So here is more that you are missing. Here you still have them, but you are improving. And number three, with incentives, that increases originally the reporting, but then as less incidents are, then the incident reporting rate goes down. This is not necessarily negative, because remember, that's part of the success of the system. And then as to the events reporting rate, you have an increase in reporting event if you have the base rate and if you have incentives. In the other two cases, they decrease over time. So far about safety, that is issues related to related to aviation, industrial system, and so on. Let's now look at security. First, about the situation. Let's look at the same issues that we had before. What about legal incentives? Well, they are very difficult to implement because, well, you can implement them in Norway, but it doesn't help very much. Everything is connected, and that doesn't help much as to security in other areas. So that's quite difficult to achieve because of globalization. In addition, as we will learn later when we look at the economics of information security, there are other forces working against, so to speak, your hard counter incentives. So that's not so easy. The second thing is, how do you prove the benefit of security, information security reporting systems? We don't have good metrics. We don't have good understanding of the costs. We don't have good models that must be very detailed to allow us to convince the decision maker that it's worth implementing. And again, remember, that's only part of the truth, because then we have the systemic issues. What about the systemic issues? Well, as to the motivation to report events, now understood at near misses and those that can become incidents, we have the typical issues of sensitivity. Knowing about, there is always the fear that security problems may become known and then could damage the reputation of the company. And then there are other kinds of problems related to intrinsic restrictions of cyber data, which I will discuss in a new slide. Then you have the issue of efforts to evaluate reported events. If you were in a situation where you feel that you are winning the battle, then you like to spend that. But you have an arms race with increasing sophisticated attackers, and that leads to, you have to be faster and faster. You have to stay in the same place. The Red Queen metaphor is a mention of a chapter in Lewis Carroll's book Through the Looking Glass, which is the second book of Alice in Wonderland. Alice meets the Red Queen, and they start running, and then after a while, Alice notices the landscape is not changing. And then she says, that's curious, that's queer. Where I come from, if you are running fast, then you leave the landscape behind. And the Red Queen says, here in our country, you have to run as fast as possible just to stay on the same place. And that's basically what is happening in the arms race against the attackers. We are improving, but they are improving their attacks. So the situation, in a sense, doesn't change. We are still caught in an arms race. We start having security problems and so on, as many as before, perhaps even more. The other issue that is systemic is, how much do you learn from the reports? And of course, the effects of possible recriminations. Okay, so it is clear that information security reporting systems, they are much tougher to implement than safety reporting systems. But still, one of the issues that I mentioned in the previous slide was cyber data restrictions. So what is this? We need good data. But do we get good data? First of all, relevant cyber data does not always exist. It's not always kept recorded and so on. And then if it exists, it is often not made available. Sensitivity issues. And if it is available, maybe the data is not usable. It's not good enough, because data is often not mined for the purpose of investigation, scientific investigation, understanding, but for other reasons. So among the reasons for lack of availability of data is, The attackers are very good at concealing their attacks, so you don't get the data you need. If you are a defender, the data you are interested in is for specific purposes, like perhaps persecution. And that's not exactly the same data that you need to create good models. And then, again, because of sensitivity reasons, organizations very often don't want to cooperate. Some years ago, I supervised a project on insider attacks. Remember, I have a past in modeling insider threat with CERT Coordination Center, with SUNY, State University of New York in Albany, with Sandia National Lab in Albuquerque. Okay, so I tried to do a similar study here in Norway, and I had a good master student who wanted to conduct such a study. We contacted many enterprises. Most didn't answer. And the few that answered and say, yes, we are interested and participate in the study, then the participation was like, we don't have anything to report. We don't have insider attack. So, okay, what do you do in such study where those who have something to report don't report because of sensitivity, and those who do report don't have anything to tell? Well, the whole thing was beating around in the bush, and in the end we had to do the study based on existing literature rather than in data that we got from the cooperating enterprises. Okay? Yes. Then another thing that is very important to consider are the stress factors. We have a very strong exogenous pressure from increasingly sophisticated attack and shrinking time. And the next two slides you have already seen, they are just here to refresh your memory. Okay. So now let's take the model that we have for safety, and what would you change just to make it a bit more realistic for information security? Among the things that you would change is the ratio between resources and incidents. So what I did is to add some links from here, from the incident rate and the resources, and this computer ratio, so to speak, and this ratio will influence quality of investigation. So if you have basically stable resources, remember, it's very difficult to get more money for funding what you are doing. You have to convince, you have to have a good case, you have to prove return on investment. That's very difficult. There are a lot of things we don't know. So we are talking for deaf ears. So what happens is you are having more attacks, more sophisticated attacks, less time to respond, and you are not getting enough resources. So this is going to influence the quality of reporting, and the whole system breaks down. And that's even, there are more reasons why information security reporting systems are difficult to sustain, but this is a key reason, one of the key reasons why they are so difficult to maintain in practice. You could add the other factors and extend this causal loop diagram, of course, but in a sense, if you prove already that you have so big holes in the whole thing that it doesn't work because of this, then yes, we could spend more time in understanding that. But we need to fix this. How do we fix the issue that more and more attacks occur? They are more and more sophisticated, and we don't have such a quick way to increase resources. Let's look in different directions. So, it's very difficult to improve the situation if you consider single organizations. And here are the reasons, which simply summarize what I said. Let's look in a different direction. One of the barriers we need to overcome is that we did data, well, I call it scientific research. By that, I mean a better understanding of the problem. So we have the data here, we don't get it. What if we think more about outsourcing? Outsourcing is occurring more and more, simply because more and more enterprises are understanding that they cannot afford to have the resources within the organization to be able to handle security. They need to engage companies like Mnemonic and others that specialize in information security. Or they need to invest in external security research. Well, in the case of Mnemonic, they keep the half research for the organization, but they do much more. Picture that you get is like this. You have a number of clients, and they choose some company with a fictitious name here, Outsource Security Limited, call it Mnemonic. And there is a trend for that, to outsource security, owing to the growing pressure, the increase in sophistication, and the risks. So then these organizations that are paying Mnemonic, you have to choose one name, or another company like the Outsource Security Limited, they have to report. It will be dumped to engage them to help you in security and do not disclose what is happening. Of course, you have all kind of issues here that are very important. You need trust. You need very good non-disclosure agreements so that they know the data they get, they shouldn't be disclosed at all, and so on and so on. And you are creating then a situation of trust. But still, it needs to be handled because the company that is dealing with the security issues of the constituents should deal with that in a way that respects the sensitivity of each of the constituents, but still handles the issues in a way that is beneficial for everybody. It is a process that is difficult to manage, but it can be managed, and as we see with the different companies, yes. Good question. We have cooperated with Mnemonic, but when we cooperated with them, we had a project where Finula Sven was involved. When we did that, we got some information. You have to filter the information, how to share with competitors. The constituents don't share with each other. There is no direct link here. Rather, you create a situation where the manager, the company that is managing your security, and you as constituent agree as to how to sanitize the information. So you have to transform the information that you are getting for your constituents to a way that can be used in a way that cannot be traced back. It is important that nobody can trace back the information to say that happened here and there. Yes, security company to security company, yes. And that's the next step. Because here you have a Mnemonic, here you have a Telenor-based company, I forgot what is the name, it is based in Arendal. Here you have another one, then you have a common forum, like FIRST. FIRST is actually one of the examples. So you start meeting in conferences, workshops, you start sharing tools, you develop tools of common usage, and so on and so on. And we are seeing specifically in the increase of CISAs, but not only CISAs. So yes, that is the trend that we are seeing. When you have outsourced information security, then you have enterprises with common problems, they come together, but then it's again several filters. There is a filter between the constituents of outsourced security There is another filter between the companies that come to the fora, but we are finding ways of solving this. Yes, we are making progress, but progress is slow. It's slow because they are very complex problems. Okay, so that was the survey of also security. What we could do now is to open the Venzi model, which I will put in Blackboard so that you can later play with it as well. So I stop this. I will share Venzim. Share application. Entire screen. Share Venzim. And that's the model that I refer to, where you saw some simulations. Here, in principle, you can adjust the view, zoom to whatever, 75% or so. Well, it was a bit exaggerated. View, okay, we have to scroll, and so on. Okay, and so on. Maybe 75%. Okay, here you see a little bit of the structure. So you see incident rates, here the incidents accumulate, some of them are reported, some are not reported. Then you have the events, and they are reported, some of the events become incidents and so on. And then you have, after they are reported, investigation dissemination rate, they are and so on and so on, all kind of things. So you can later investigate the model. You have edit fine. And then you can look at particular variables. So for instance, if you want to see a variable called fraction of reported events, you click on that, okay, and then it's shown here, and so on and so on. You can look at the definition, clicking on that, then you get the definition, or you can look at the view as text, and then, no, the file is already saved. So I then need to save it. Do you want to save the file? No. Then you get the equations here and so on and so on and so on. So a lot of things you can do to explore the model. But I go back to the sketch. Now I would like to simulate. And I have already simulated with the different switches. So suppose you want to put a switch on, then you will cook edit fine. And you look at the incentive switch. Incentive. Okay, no, wait a moment. I did something silly. Fine. Incentive. Yeah, and then I scroll here. Once you find that, incentive switch. Here. And here, this variable allows you to have incentives in the simulation or not. If we look at the equation for that, so it has the value 1 now, which means I have incentives. If I put 0 here, I have no incentives in the simulation. But I have simulated all the possibilities before. So I have in the control panel here several graphs, one for the incident rate, one for the incident reporting rate, and one for the event reporting rate, which are the ones I showed you before. So if I look at the incident rate and look display, then you see the curves that were in the paper. There they were with numbers. Here you see them with colors. So the base run is the blue one, where I don't have incentives. I don't have recriminations. The green one is the one where you add the incentives. It increases a bit the effect of the decrease in the incidence. The red one here is if I have recriminations. And the other one, which has a color that I cannot tell what it is, kind of perhaps gray, is adding, well, actually, what I could do is actually I could increase that. I am so dumb. I should have enlarged this. So here you say it again. So the different ones. So you have the four colors and the explanations and so on. So this you can do with the VNC model. You can explore a little bit and look at it. I will upload it to Blackboard a little bit later today. And you can similarly you can similarly select this one, display, and you see this. And you can select this one, display, and you get this, and so on. And you can maximize in that. So the idea with these Vensim files, I don't expect you to understand the details, to that they are complex, but I want you to get a feeling, okay, there are a number of things I can do with a simulation model, and maybe someday you can use that. Maybe you are in a position to convince your company, why don't we invite some company, consulting company, who is good at group model building, to come with us, visit us, and tell what they could do for us. And then if they convince us, then we do it together. And then you have one point, and that is, they are not normal consulting companies. That's not the kind of guys that take the consultancy, go away for a couple of months. Of course, they will interview you and so on. And they come with a crystal ball and say, here's the answer. Look at the crystal ball, ask it, and the crystal ball tells you what to do. The difference here is your company will work together with the modelers to create something that you own because you have built it yourself. Of course, I will be the guy, the modelers will be the guys that click here and put things on the screen, but they will do it together with you. You will be able to see what they are doing, comment on it, make suggestions, criticize, compare the simulation with your data, and so on and so on. So you are in command. You are working together with the modelers and so on. And experience shows that group model building create solutions that are much more effective because you believe in the solutions, because you have been involved in the process of creating that. Okay? So, how do I come back to Blackboard? Here, stop sharing the application. Okay, questions? Comments? Okay, now as to the time, I'm going to do the following. You remember I tried to show you the course System Dynamics Applied to Information Security, and I managed halfway. I did find a course, but it was not the one I wanted. I am going to show you the course that is in Blackboard and point at the issues of delays so that you can read upon that if you are interested. And then, after doing that, I am going to look at the question of the examination project, if you agree. So, step one, the course, share file. And this time I have uploaded them in advance, so it should be soon available. Okay? So you see the first slide. It tells you about the course objectives, if you want to take the course, and so on. It has a lot of things, more than you need, but you can be curious and look at that. And then you see in the course, it was a 3-day course that they used to give for companies that were interested. And it starts first with some exercises introducing the idea of level and flows, introducing some common structures of feedback, introducing archetypes, how you conceptualize, how you brainstorm use for simulation, and so on and so on. Then Venzim is introduced, and so on and so on and so on. And number 12, modeling time delays. We have to find that. Okay. It takes a bit of time until I find it. So a little bit of patience. By the way, here you have a metaphor for stock and flows. Stocks, they are like a bathtub, and the level is amount of water in that. That represents the states of the system, whereas the flows are the changes to the system. Water enters, water leaves, and so on. I just couldn't resist showing you this nice picture. And it's also a nice bathtub, the way bathtubs used to be in former times. Today they are less pretty. Okay, let me go further and find here about delays. The system is very slow because every time I go forward with slides, it still has to find the other slides, so it shows then slowly, but I am coming closer and closer. Here you find a lot of details about things that I said before. Okay, I'm still going through that. I still have where to go. Blackboard is a little bit inefficient when you have big sets of slides. Next time I hold a course, I will break this in several parts so that it's easier to find them. Okay, we are still coming closer, but it's about units, and you are interested in units, which is the metrics. Okay, still not there. Sorry, takes time. Okay, it's incredible. Loading slide says. Okay. No, I thought it was there. Ah, here we are. So there's a section starting with slide 94 about modeling time delays. And that's something that I would recommend you to have a look at it. It introduces delays. I am going very quickly through that. And it starts with the first order delays. It explains what first order delays are, like this. Explains third order delays. And explains the so-called pipeline or fixed time delays, very briefly. It introduces them. And it tells you that Venzim has actual functions to create the delays. So instead of making the structure as I did before, you could use the functions. Then in the next slide, it introduces first order delays for recognizing information or perceiving information or adjusting expectations. And then you have basically here the structure that I created for you. Here is about perception of orders arising to a company, where we had incident rate, we have now customer orders. Where we have the perception of incidents, we have expectation of orders. Where we have the gap of incidents, we have a gap between the expectation, the perception of orders you have, and the arriving orders. That influences the change in expectations. And where we have the time to perceive incidents, we have the time to adjust expectations. The model is basically the same. And this is a simulation when you have a step function, a jump. This is a simulation where you have a shock pulse. And this is the structure that you create yourself. This is the structure that you will create with Venzim by using the delay one function or another function, but it does exactly the same, smoothing of information. And then you could continue with higher order delays, third order delays, that will have such a structure if you model that with stocks and flows. or such one if you use the Vensim function. And then you have still another, which is a constant time delay. So you have something happening there, and then with constant time, the same thing is reproduced. This have you, for instance, in a pipeline, you start putting oil in a pipeline, what you put in comes out in the same way. And mathematically, this is equivalent to a situation with a very high quantity of stocks. Okay, this was just a survey. It's up to you if you want to go into the depths. I would suggest that you do the exercise concerning perception, because that happens in many situations. If you look at the Vensim files that you get from me, then you will have perceptions and so on. So if you are curious, just have a look at the slides here. There are several ways of dealing with the slides. One is getting acquainted with them. So just inspecting, oh, what is there? Okay, it's about this and this, and there are some examples in the very end of the slides, but it will take here perhaps a quarter, again 5 minutes until I am at the end of the slides. You will see some cases related to security modeling. One of them is about patching for vulnerabilities. So you can have a look at that. So if you are curious, you can spend a little bit of time having a look at that, and then if you have questions or if you want some of the models that are shown there, contact me and you can get it from here, from me. Okay? So here I stop illustrating this. Again, this is not required, but it is a possibility for you to look a little bit as to the possibilities, or go into the devs or whatever you like. I stop. Any comments, any questions as to that? Okay. I say, if this would be helpful, not so much in terms of passing the course. It can be helpful if you have specific questions. I do recommend the question of the perception of incidents, which is an exercise that you find for understanding the archetypes. I don't think so at this level. What you see in the course as to the archetypes, you got it already from me. So there is no more information. For understanding the archetypes, basically what I recommend you is to do the exercises. Now you have the solutions. So look at the solutions that I propose. Close the PowerPoint presentation with the solution. Try to do it by yourself. Exercise the positive and negative polarities until it becomes something automatic that you don't need to reflect. So this set here is a value added if you want to use it. But you don't need it at this stage for passing the course. But it could be helpful later if you want to argue your case for your colleagues and your company or whatever, knowing more about that. Need to understand the simulations? Yes. Again, there are different levels of understanding. One level of understanding is to understand the purpose of the simulation and what kind of outcomes that come out of that. At that level, the papers, the articles that I have uploaded can be useful. And look in, if you are curious, at the Vensim files can be also help. But you don't need to go into the depths. If you want to understand more, then you can look at the slides so as to see how does he handle, for instance, the metrics? How do I model situations where you have time delays and so on? It depends on your questions. For the purpose of passing the course, this is not necessary, but again, it is very much person dependent. It depends on your curiosity, on your needs, on the value of this. What I try to do is to open a number of doors, show you some landscape, increase your perceptions, prepare you for future challenges and so on, basically by visiting with you a number of problems. Then I suggest that we have a look at the document that I have uploaded for introducing the examination case. You find it in Blackboard. It is the last folder in Blackboard. I am not so sure as to how much, if I am able to show Blackboard itself with Collaborate. Perhaps I can. Let me try that. If it can show, of it, maybe it corrupts Collaborate. I am a little bit afraid of doing that. What happens now? Let me see. I am a little bit, maybe the whole thing backfires, but let me share application, entire screen, share. Do you see now Blackboard? Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Yes, yes. Okay, good. Then let me go there. Now, if you go down here, we have covered this. We have covered it. And William, your question, here is the lecture. You can download that, for instance, response systems. We haven't covered this one, which probably we'll have to take later. Perhaps next, 2 weeks from now, we'll see. And now you have exercises. This we did. I will put the solution later. This we haven't done. This we haven't done. I recommend that as a homework. Then you have modeling time delays with Venzim. We did the one exercise as to modeling these security incidents. I will put the solutions later. Okay. So now I go back to, how do I go back? I think I have to click here. Yes. And then I have to go to the last content. Here is the course that I show you a moment ago. And now we have the examination part. So you see the text here. So the examination project will start next Monday at 8 o'clock, meaning by then you will see all these things here will be in place. And you have 2 weeks to deliver your report. And if you are well prepared, then it should take 10 to 12 hours. At the moment, I hear that you are clicking here, but I have a little bit of problems in seeing that. I have to go back here. Let me see. Did you have some issues? Yes, let me see. Here, chat. Okay, I see. Okay, that's okay. Good. Then I go back here. So all this will be implemented. So you will have about 4 cases defined by me that you could choose. But maybe you prefer to define your own case. It's your choice. And if you are well prepared, solving these cases will require 10 to 12 hours work. Now, my experience, because I have done this before with students. Some students are very well prepared and they do it within this time. It depends on how much effort you have spent and so on. Very often it's more. Still, it is very important that you do not work too much. Be realistic, define how much time you want to invest, and learn to prioritize. We will see soon what I do for prioritizing. So suppose you say, I want to spend only 12 hours, okay? Then you have to make a project plan, stick to your project plan, prioritize what you're doing, and be satisfied with performing according to project plan. Maybe you say, okay, I can invest as much as 15 hours, or 20, or whatever. It's your decision. But don't exaggerate, because if you have too much time, remember the saying, and that is time, work tends to expand to fill the time available. So if you put 30 hours, you are sure to spend the 30 hours. If you put 40 hours, you are sure to spend the 40 hours. But then you are not prioritizing, you are not forcing yourself to be effective and so on. Before I open this document here, resistance to, I see I have an extra letter there, extra character that should be disappear, but now, okay. Resistance to security solutions and distance from the core. I don't know why the D appeared there. This is the definition of one of the cases. Before we have a look at it, since several of you indicated that you would like to define a case from your employer, from your institution, your enterprise, then I will give you instructions as to how to handle that. It's not just defining the case, you have also to analyze it. So you should perhaps spend a little bit of time considering the pros and cons of defining your own case versus looking at one of the cases that I have defined. Okay, so after this, I'm going back, rather than uploading it here, which I could do. Well, let's see what happens if I upload it here. No, that's silly. I think it's better I go back now to Blackboard. No, to this one. Stop sharing the application. And go now to sharing the file. I add the file. It takes always a little bit of time. Examination project. Here I have it. Okay, it's I don't know why it takes so much time to convert. After all, it's a short one, 7 slides only, loading complete. Share now. Okay. Question is now, how do I magnify this? I don't know if you can read that. Show view controls, let me see, view control. Yes, I can magnify it. You see, I am still learning to use Blackboard. So, you see here the title, Resistance to Security Solutions and Distance from the Core. Project start 8 o'clock, Monday 20th. Project end Friday 3rd of April at 19 hours. I still have to tell you how to deliver this, but we have time. It's 2 weeks from now. So here is the summary. What you are supposed to do. Develop. 3rd April is not Friday. Are you sure? Okay, then I have to correct that. Okay, so. Not busy anyway. Maybe I am leaving another. So what is the actual date? Calendar. March. April. It's 7th. 7th of April. Okay, good. I changed that. Sorry, I am. Okay, this is the smallest thing. I will correct that. So you are asked to develop archetypes to describe and analyze two aspects of the armed race going on between security providers and attackers, and so on and so on. So you see that here. Then you see further information, and this will be the same whether you take one case from me or you develop your own case. There are a number of things that you have to do. And as you see, the report requests that you define a project plan, but also a procedure to evaluate what you are doing. Why? The project plan so as to motivate you to prioritize what you are doing. And the self-evaluation so that you are conscious as to what you are doing and why and how you can measure that. In a sense, that's about metrics. You have learned that we can measure anything, so you can measure also your performance. I have very good experiences from many, many years of doing this. The students report that they learn much more and they get much more motivated by doing the project plan and being conscious about the quality of what they are doing. Then I tell you about the workload. That's basically what I said a moment ago. Then next slide. It describes the case. And that's a description that goes over several pages. We don't need now to read the details, but I encourage you to read the details. And so on and so on. And there you have the references to Chris Zook. And you find in Wikipedia about Chris Zook. He's considered to be one of the most influential economic analysts, financial analysts. Then you have links in Wikipedia to his books. So you see how good their books are, that even Wikipedia has an entry to the books Profit from the Core, Beyond the Core, and Unstoppable. They are the three books. Okay, next slide. It's still the case. It's telling you what to do. No, actually, it's no longer the case. Now it's what you are supposed to do. So you need to define, if you define your own case, what kind of issues you need to solve, what kind of archetypes that need to be solved, develop, and so on. So here it's telling you what to do. And basically, it's about developing archetypes that allow you to analyze the problem, and that's key, discussing the insights. And this is so important that I want to spend a little bit of time on that. You develop the archetypes as tools to create insights. And the point is how you use the archetypes that you got to improve security management. And you should discuss the issues of how to you can improve the security management and the related metrics. Further, even in my part two, if you are able to use insight that you got from part one of the course, that's positive. That's something that will be honored in terms of adding to the grade that you get. Then the other things, they are in a sense repetitions of things that you have heard before. You should follow the procedures that I have exercised with you as to how to create good archetypes. And also, if you have a good case, the case is written in a way that the action, the intended outcome, the unintended outcome should pop up. So if you define your case, you should pay attention to writing it very clearly, so that very clearly states what are the suggested action, the intended outcome, what can go wrong, and so on and so on. Then you have a number of more recommendations, and so on and so on. Continuing the description, still it's about how to develop good archetypes. And then you have recommendations. You are allowed to cooperate with other students. In fact, I encourage you to do that, because you can learn not only from me, you can learn from your peers. So discuss issues, and so on and so on. The only thing that I require is you have to write every word in your report by yourself. You have to create every archetype by yourself. Every figure, everything is by yourself. And it's easy to detect if you are copy-pasting, because students tend to copy-paste their mistakes as well. Also, there is software that tells immediately if there's an anomaly and so on. I am sure you are honest, you won't do that. But some years ago, we had a problem with some students who copy-pasted, and that had very bad consequences for them, because they were flunked and they had to repeat the course. Then recommendations. Invest in reading. Read very carefully. Several readings, first to get an overview, then pass for useful information, and so on and so on. Then as to why you need a project plan, and then the related issues of self-evaluation. And here we have a causal loop diagram telling you why this is good. Evaluation is a feedback process. You have a goal that you define, quality goal. You want to get grade A, say. For that, you have to compare what you have with your goal. You should be able to identify the gap. And if there is a gap, you have to invest in effort to achieve the result. And here you see why self-evaluation is important. You need metrics. So first of all, you have to be clear about what is your goal and how you measure your goal. You have to be clear as to what is the current result, how you measure that, so that you can recognize if there is a gap. And if there is a gap, then you have to dedicate targeted effort to achieve your result. So you have a learning process, and this is a balancing feedback loop. So here you can use also feedback loops. Okay? Then suggestion as to how you should word your findings. If English is your not native language, then I don't expect you, the Norwegians, to write English like a native. So I am quite tolerant. But if there are things that you could easily fix by using the capabilities of your word processor, then I will be not so tolerant. So please use spelling checks, grammar checks, and so on. If you have the new software in your machine, then that will be help you a lot. And then Norwegians, I am so daring that I even have recommendations as to how to better write in Norwegian. You see, I am quite daring. Finally, specification as to report. Please have a project plan that could be half a page, maximally one page. I like it if you use Gantt diagrams with graphics that make it simpler to see. make it smart. Do you know smart? S, the font size you can decide 10 as a minimum, 10 to 12, but 10 is okay. Have you heard the acronym SMART? S for specific. Rune knows it. What about you, William? You know SMART? Okay. Since there are more students that will see the recording and I don't know if they know, SMART, S-M-A-R-T. S is about how you conduct projects. S for being specific. M should be for measurable. A for achievable. R for realistic. T for time bound. So please observe all this. Be specific. Do the things in a measurable way so that you have a metrics for what you are doing. Be conscious that what your goal is achievable without the time, within the time that you have defined. Then R for realistic and T for time bound. And this you should already have in your project plan, that it is time bound. So much time for this, so much time for that, and so on. Then, if you have a good project plan and you have measurable items, that's very easy to define a form for self-evaluation so that you can evaluate what you are doing, evaluate your performance. Then I suggest 6 to 8 pages to the system archetypes that you should defend, you should argue for them. Not only put a diagram on the page, and then the analysis. This is very important. And then there is an issue that I want to alert you about, because my experience with previous examination projects in similar courses, I've been teaching security management for many years, I've been teaching other courses for many, many years. Very often, the analysis is done by the students completely separately or very separately from the archetypes that they have developed. So I want you to use the archetypes for analyzing. Don't add further considerations that are not in the archetypes. Stick to archetypes and use them for what they are worth. So even if perhaps the analysis could be improved by having both the archetypes and additional issues, just restrict yourself to what is in the archetypes. So I am not going to punish you because there could be some other additional things that you could do. We are simply limiting the scope. The scope of the examination is about what you have been learning here. Well, this said, what you cannot, there are things that you learn in part one. This is okay. But do use the archetypes for analysis, and then you can add other things if you relate them to part one. And then in the end, put in your self-evaluation, in which you basically are saying, I deserve the grade so-and-so, because, and why do I ask you to do that? I am not saying that the grade that you propose is the one I am saying I agree. So you're proposing A, I give you an A. The reason is I want you to learn as much as possible. And an examination project is the best opportunity for you to really learn about what you have heard from me. You are 100% motivated. You are very keen to learn about what you are doing right and wrong. And I promise you, you will get a detailed evaluation from me. So my feedback is not you get a B or whatever. I'm going to give you a feedback. That's what you did. Here you could have improved in this way and so on. I'm not going to say, oh, this is wrong. I am rather going to tell you things that could have been improved and how. And every one of you will get an individual assessment. And my experience from the past is that the students appreciate that. Because you have invested a lot of time, you have been highly motivated to do it well, and you want to hear from me things that could have been improved. And my experience is that the learning impact is great. It will be even greater if we had several iterations. In former times, I had a whole course for myself, actually two whole courses for myself. So you had several opportunities to get feedback from me. Okay? Now I would like to take questions from you and comments. Any comments to this examination project? Any desires, any wishes? What should be in the project plan? Well, you define tasks. No, there is no template. There is no template. You have to develop it by yourself. Among other things, because it depends on the case that you are choosing. They are different. So it should be related to the case. Of course, at high level, you could say the project plan is develop the project, the problem archetype, develop the solution archetype, analyze the archetypes. So the project plan could be very coarse like this. But of course, this project plan is too simple. So you should go, and yes, I like Gantt diagrams, yes. So define tasks. Don't define too many tasks. You have to find the level of resolution. If it's too coarse, like I said, develop this problem archetype, develop the solution archetype, analyze the archetype, that's simply too coarse. But go a bit more in detail, but not too much in detail. The project plan should be useful for you. And it should be smart, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-bound. So think in terms of its usability for your project. And similarly with the self-evaluation. Don't put too many things to evaluate. Try to find the right level of resolution. What my experience in the past was the following. The students did it. I did suggestions in the first iteration. Then we had the second examination project. And based on my feedback and my report to the students, they improved. And the second project plan and self-evaluation was better. And the grades were better. This time, we only have one hit. So let's try and do it as good as possible. Okay. Now we have only 15 minutes left. what should we do in this last 15 minutes? Shall we take questions, issues? What is your preference? We don't have time enough to enter a new topic. We could take questions, suggestions. In the third class, we have the agenda. First of all, I will have to take the lecture on managing information security during new technology adoption. So it will be that. It will be about maturity models, and it will be about incentives to security. So in principle, it is the overview is in the blackboard. The only thing is that we have to use some time on critical infrastructure. Yes, the multiple choice exam. I would suggest to take in the multiple choice exam immediately after Easter. What do you think about that? Is that okay? Or would you prefer to have that? Rune likes that. Well, Easter is it starts after you deliver the project. That's the Easter week. So it will be around the middle of April. I would have, say, for instance, we could have in the Tuesday after Easter. Monday is still a holiday. So Tuesday after Easter, that should be, let me see, 9th, 11th. I think it's the 18th of April. 18th of April. I am right now with the calendar. I think it is. Let me see. Yes. 18th of April will be then the multiple choice exam. No, you don't need Venzi. In the exam, could be questions like about polarity. I give you two variables and I ask you as to what is the polarity. For instance, could be consider if you are taking more calories. How will that influence weight with positive or negative polarity? Things like this or whatever. And then you have, in this case, you have only two choices. So, of course, this is not a question that will be in a multiple choice exam. It could be, still, it could be a question like, consider the relation between calories, more calories and more weight. Suppose you take more calories, will that add to your weight or reduce to your weight? Suppose you take less calories, will that lose and so on? Or you have a positive polarity within variable A and B. Suppose A increases, what that happened to B? And so on. Yes, it's going to be practical. It will test the different situations. Then I will show you perhaps some archetypes and ask you to tell me if these are underachievement or is it relative achievement or is it this or that. Similar things like this. And I will, of course, use examples related to security all the way and so on. And basically, the multiple choice exams will give you 60 minutes and perhaps there are 30 questions and 3 to 4 possibilities to respond to the questions. Okay. So, anything you want to hear more about the things that we have covered so far? Because if you don't have more questions and so, then another possibility is to finish now, even if it is 10 minutes left and so. It has been a long day. The next time for Skype will be next Wednesday. It is published as an announcement. So I think Wednesday from 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, I will be available on Skype. And then if there are burning issues, any student can contact me and ask me for an opportunity to chat. So we can, I will have to look at my agenda. Next week is a complicated agenda the first 3 days because Monday I have a guest who is coming to visit me and I will be occupied all day. Tuesday, there is a PhD defense. One of my former students is defending. Wednesday is another PhD defense that I have to attend, where I am in the panel. I am the coordinator for the panel. So Monday to Wednesday are complicated. By Wednesday, I finish in time to take the Skype. So I will be available from 5 to 7 o'clock. But if you want to appoint additional Skype sessions, Thursday, Friday, or in the beginning of the week after, then contact me and then we should find that. Or send me email, perhaps we can do that also in terms in writing or so. Okay. Good, then thank you very much. I appreciate enormously that you are here. It is much more fun when I are having a conversation with the students. You give me also opportunity to learn from issues. Have a good weekend. Take care, both of you. Oi, 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 oi.